stealing all the time. But I'm going to, I can recite all the wonderful things I want to recite about the wonderful resume that our guest this evening could offer. I mean, he's a rabbi of a tremendous shul in Bergen County. He's a Talmid Chacham par excellence. He's a member of the bar. He's written Sfarim. The list goes on and on. But I have to say, if I needed to sum Rabbi Brzezinski up in one word, the word would be leif. And that's a big statement. As long as I know and have known of and have had the opportunity to interact from a distance and sometimes closer with Rabbi Brzezinski, he approaches every single person and every single issue with such a heart. We go back a long way, Rabbi. Friday afternoons playing basketball in your yard when I would be a guest at one of our colleagues, who is now the Rav in Boca Raton. We go back a long way. And to be honest, the Rav is a phenomenal individual. He's an individual who can play ball on the one hand and care about every single individual, be them adults, be them children, be them anyone, be them anybody in between, and yet at the same moment be able to focus on major issues of the cloud. He always has time to respond to, I'd like to say we young people, I hope I still get to count myself in that crowd of young rabbis. He's always a voice for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, for Medinat Yisrael. He's a voice of excitement and reason. He's an individual who's always thinking about the future and the destiny of Orthodoxy. And he's an individual who, without a doubt, was more than willing to accede my request, even though it's a Thursday night, which is what we in the rabbinate call rush night, to please come and share Divrei Torah. Rabbi Brzezinski, me'umka delibi, personally, and on behalf of this tzibur, we are indebted to you for everything that you do within and everything that you do without for the Jewish people and for us. And so it's my honor, privilege, and a greatest respect to be able to call upon Rabbi Stephen Brzezinski, who will deliver our chabur this evening. Without further ado, Rabbi Brzezinski.
Rabbi Schwartz, thank you very much. I don't deserve such an introduction, but I enjoyed it very much. I'm sorry I cut it short.
In any event, it's a pleasure to be here in Elizabeth. Let me hand these out as we start, please. It's a delight to be here and to share with you a shiur, an interesting topic. I have to tell you, I gave this shiur a few weeks ago in commemoration of my father's first yard site. And today happened to be my grandfather's yard site. Rabbi Teitz was yesterday. My grandfather's was today. So learn Ilan Nishmaso, Rav Fry Michel Ben, Rav Zev Nechemya Halevi. Well, when I delivered the shiur first, the topic tonight is fasting on a yard site. And I raised the question with the audience, how many people actually fast on a yard site who are in the parsha to do it? And there are many people there, but only four or five people raised their hands, which is very strange. I have to exclude those yard site falls on Shabbos or on Yom Tov or Hanukkah, etc. But it seems that notwithstanding the sources that exist that speak about a tzom on a yard site as almost the critical commemoration of the yard site, it's fallen by the wayside. So I want to trace the origins of this mitzvah to fast on a yard site and what's happened to it and find some type of resolution, why it is like that, and whether or not it should be restored as well. Many of the Lithuanians always fast. The Rav, for example, always fast on his yard site for his parents. And the famous yard site shuv, if he gave it bo bayom, then he was always fasting towards the end of the day. We're broken ready in the ones in the wintertime. The sources can't be any clearer. We start first in Yoredeo, Siman Tov Bey, Sif Yud Bey's number one in the Ramah. It's the sixth line here. Mitzvah lehisanos yom shemespo aviv oimo. It's a mitzvah to fast on the day that one's father or mother dies. Umisanin yom ha-misa v'lo yom ha-kvura. And you fast on the day of death and not the day of burial. We'll discuss that in a moment. Im lo misha hoya etzel ha-kvura v'lo etzel ha-misa. Except for those who are at the kvura, not the misa. And the implication here is that if there is some distance in time between one or the other, then it might be different. Look at the Pischei Tshuva in number 2, Sifkat and Gimel. Quotes the Shach, Dim Era Yoma Misa Hu Rochok Mi Makvura Gimel Odalad Yomim. If there's a distance between the day of death and the day of burial, 3 or 4 days, it's not uncommon. Rachman Alfan, someone dies on a Thursday, he's being buried in Israel, so it takes a few days to have the burial. Yesh Lis'anos Bishona Rishona Yom HaKvura Kedeshe Yasu HaYartzei Betashul Ma'avelus. You should have the Yartzei then on the day of the Kvura, because it was enough of a separation in time. V'nira D'mashona Hazos Hi Me'uberes Yis'ana B'yom HaMisa D'hakvar Nishlam HaVelus Bekalos Yud Beis Chodesh. Except if the death took place in a leap year, really this would be the year. Someone who just died a few weeks ago, and exactly this case, died on a Thursday, and the Kvur was in Eretz Yisrael on a Sunday night, early Monday. So the difference of 4 days. So you would think when the Yartzeit comes around next Kislev, they should fast on the Yom HaKvura, not the Yom HaMisa. No, this is the divergence, because since it's a leap year, the 12 months of Avelos already end the month before, in Mar Cheshvan. So by the time the Yom HaMisa comes, it's 12 months plus, so therefore it would be the Yom HaMisa, not the Yom HaKvura. But otherwise, if the funeral takes place the next day, 2 days later, then you'd fast around the same time. V'imira, back in the Ramah, v'imira yom ze b'yom she'en omer bo tachanun, ein misan en klal. If the Yartzeit falls on a day where there's no tachanun, so you don't fast. You know, there's no sense of tashlumen, you don't make it up on another day. Why that is, we'll discuss. V'meisu ba'ador v'nis'aber hashana ha'ikr l'sanas ba'ador harishon. If someone died in Adar, it's a leap year like this year, so the main yard site, let's say the death took place in Hashanah Pshuta, in a regular year, the main yard site is observed in Adar Aleph. Mechaber disagrees, we'll get to it in a moment, but Rama says it's observed in Adar Aleph. Afal pi sheyesh cholkin, kachu ikar. That's the essence. V'meisu b'shnaso ibu ba'adar hasheni. If the death actually occurred in a leap year, in Adar Sheni, then you'd fast only in Adar Sheni. My point is not just to go through these halachos, but just to underscore that the way the Rama speaks, and we'll see the way the Mechaber speaks. Do you need a copy, by the way? Yeah. The way the Mechaber speaks, it's just assumed, it's taken for granted that people are fasting. The Rama called it a mitzvah. Furthermore, just a little aside, V'ayin la'el she'ein lecho b'su'uda b'lel yom she'meis bo'av v'aim. There's also a minig not to attend, not to eat at a su'uda, the night of the yard site. Implications of simcha. Turn the page for a second. Number 19, the Pischei Tshuva elaborates, D'zeh ayri b'su'udas chasuna she'esham mizmute chasun v'kalo. This applies to a wedding where there's music being played. So in fact, that's a minig. I don't know if everyone's aware of it, but the yard site has a din of Yud Beis Chodesh. Just like you want to go to Simcha Yud Beis Chodesh, so you don't go to Simcha on a yard site either. There's joy as well. That you can go, the Simcha is not the same. Let's just go back and we'll see how the Mechaber spoke about this area so explicitly, so clearly. Number 3, this is an Archaim Hilchos Tainis Sima Tov Kuf Samiches Siv Zayin. Mechaber says, "Kasheira Yom Shemes Aviv O'Imo Ba'Adar V'Hashana Me'uberes Yis'ane Ba'Adar Sheni." So Mechaber says, Yartzeit falls in Adar, and it's a leap year like this year. You fast in Adar Sheni. V'Yesh Omer the Ramad Yis'ane Barishon. It's Machlokas he referred to earlier. And the question really is, what do we consider to be the real Adar and the supplemental Adar? So Ashkenazim Paskin, the real Adar is Adar Rishon. Ay, Purim comes in Adar Sheni. So Gemara says, so we should be Somech Geula LeGeula, the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Pesach. But nonetheless, the real Adar is Adar Rishon, And that's why we make something of a big deal about Purim Katan. 2 days, no Tachlun, no Lam Natseach. Although I did hear of a case once where a city employee asked to have 2 days off Purim Katan as a religious holiday. And but for the fact his supervisor was a firm Jew, he might have gotten away with it. Anyway, you see that both the Mechaber and the Ramah, Hilchos Tainis, are discussing when you fast. Not whether you fast, but when you fast. And here the Mechaber adds in Sif Ches, Ein Sorach L'Sanos Ela B'Yom Misas Aviv V'lo B'Yom Kvuras. He decides. He's quite clear. You fast the day of death and not the day of burial. All right? Notice that in all these discussions, you look at number 12, because the Ramah says this another time, it's the bottom middle, in Siman Shin Ayin Vav Sivdalid in Yoredeya. Ramah repeats it. Mitzvah l'sanos b'yom shemes of O'eim. The mitzvah to fast. Now you notice, when a yahrzeit comes around, and I've seen this in shul for many years, people are mainly concerned whether they'll get the Amud, get the Haftar Shabbos before, get the Amud for Baruch HaMatzor Shabbos before. That's the concern. It doesn't mean concern of the Mechaber and the Ramah. They're concerned with one thing. When do you fast? To fast on the yahrzeit, because that is the mitzvah. And before you see the Mishnah Brura in Tav Kuf Samiches in Or HaChaim, goes into the discussion of which days you fast on a yahrzeit in a leap year. And the Ramah, in fact, the Ramah ended in Siv Zayin number 3, Miyesh Machmir L'Sanos B'Shneihem. And that's how we generally paskin, that a person who has a yahrzeit in Adar in a leap year will fast both days, or at least observe the yahrzeit both days. Or our policy is you get one crack of the Amud. Choose your month. It can't be both. You'll get just one Aliyah, and we hold that it's Adar Rishon. But nonetheless, all these discussions take place in one context. The context is fasting on the yahrzeit. Okay, now, on what is this based? So look at number 5, right below the title. Gemara says in the Dorim Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Ezehu Isar Ha'amur BaTorah. When the Torah says in Parshas Matas at the beginning, Lesor Isar Al Nafsho, to accept a prohibition on yourself. To what prohibition is the Torah referring? So here's an example. Amar Hareini Shloachal Basar V'Shloeshta Yayin Kiyam Shemes Bo'aviv. The person says, I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine like on the day my father died, or Kiyam Shemes Bo'Rabba, like on the day that his Rebbe died. That's an example of Lasar Isar Al Nafsho. So what he's doing, Rashi says, number 6 on the left side, Rashi explains when he references Kiyom Shemes Bo'aviv, like as if his father died on a Sunday in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, all right? So he said he wants to fast just like on that day. So it doesn't mean on every Sunday. It doesn't mean every Sunday in Iyar. It means when the day recurs again, when the day comes around the calendar, that's the day to which he is referring.
Is that so, reference to the fast? Because it only says meat and wine. It doesn't say
fast. Oh, you sound like the Grah. But look at the Rosh first in number 7. His commentary on Nedarim: Kiyom Shemes Bo'Aviv Urcha Demilso Litzdar B'Yom Shemes Bo'Aviv O'Rabo. It's just natural to want to afflict oneself on the day that a parent, a Rebbe, has died. And the Taras Chaim, as Avram Shor, who was a Rav in Galicia in Belz, but long before the Hasidim came in the late 1500s, early 1600s. He says it openly. Mikan nirek tzas smach lemin agenu, mashenogim lehisanos yom shemesvo av oeim. Here we have a support for this minig to fast on a yahrzeit. Of course, bear in mind that the Ramah and the Mechaber came before the Taras Chaim, so it was extant. How extant was it? Well, look number 9. In the Trumas HaDeshen, of Israel Israelite died in 1460. The Rav then in the Wiener Neustadt in Austria. And he dealt with the question, Rabim Chalukim B'Dover Hazeh. Many people argue over this point. Yesh mis'anin ve'omrim kadosh u'barchu b'yom ha'miso v'yesh b'yom ha'kvura eizeh mehen shaper tvei. Which is better, to fast, say kadosh and baruchu on the day of death or the day of kvura? So he goes through the area and he said one of his gedolim taught, one of the gedolim and the talmidim that he had taught as follows, that it should be the yom ha'kvura. And it's interesting, they brought a raya from a medrash in next week's Sedra. If you look on, Gabe Kfuras Yaakov Avinu, because the Gemara says in Sota that Chushim Ben Don took, Shaka Chushim Ben Don Kolfei Umachoye Le'esav Adashenof Oreshe Mine. Yeah, story, you know, a famous story that when Yaakov's sons came to Marsa Machpelah, they had a hard time burying their father because Esav claimed the grave as his own, being the Bechor. And they wanted to show the deed, the document, that in fact it belonged, the title, that it belonged to Yaakov, but they left it back in Mitzrayim. So now Naftali, Ayla Shulcha, he was very speedy, so they dispatched him to go and come back with it. But he left. Chushim ben Don was deaf. He did not understand why there was a delay. He could not fathom that these negotiations were delaying the funeral of his grandfather. So he asked what it was, and he didn't understand. He pointed to Esav. So he took an axe, a club, and whacked Esav. Esav's head rolled off. All right. V'komer Talmuda. Don't try this at home, by the way. V'komer Talmuda. Kan niskayma nevuasa shel Rivka. Lo meshkal gam shnechem biyom echad. Here you see that Rivka's prophecy was fulfilled at the end of Parashas told us, why should she be bereaved of two sons in one day? Well, technically, she wasn't bereaved of two sons in one day, because Yaakov had died almost 2 months before, and Esav just died then. So you see, no, the Yom HaKvura is also considered to be a day of bereavement, even if it's distinct from the Yom HaMiso. That's the opinion that he quotes in the name of one of the Gedolim, but he doesn't accept it. Agav Aruch mentioned a beautiful pshat from Chaim Shmulevitz. Why is it that everyone else was acclimated to the delay and Chushim ben Don was not? So he answered, it's because he couldn't understand, and so his reaction, the disgust, the horror, that his grandfather was lying in shame awaiting burial, evoked this visceral reaction from him. And Chaim Shmulevitz said, you see, people can tolerate even the worst things once they get used to it, right? You see that in our day today. You go from bombings to stabbings to rammings with a car, and all right, you know what happened today? What happened? You get used to it. Chaim Shmulevitz, it's not normal to get used to it. Chushim ben Don was normal in his reaction. His brothers and cousins were not normal in their complacency. All right, just a side comment. In any event, the Truma Sadeshin did not accept this. And he says, V'chom ha'shem esan b'yom shemes b'av v'imu ha'ena el zikar yom aninusa v'tzarazo. Kiditanya behedikam shemes bo aviv. Truma Sadeshin says the reason why we fast on that day, it's the zikaron for the day of Aninus. All right, that's why the Gemara spoke in terms of Aninus. On the day of Aninus, we don't eat meat or drink wine, and then we commemorate that Aninus. Not that we didn't eat meat or drink wine, but we commemorate the tsara. Omnam had adaraba mashma diyama miso ikar. The Truma Sadeshin says the day of death is primary. Debistama omar kiyom shemes bo aviv. Kiyom shemes, not yom shekavar. Ve'im b'loshon hazeh b'stam ela misa v'lo kvura. V'chein ani raga l'haros b'yom hamisa. And that's what he taught as well. And of course, following his line were the Mechaber and the Ramah. I'll just mention the Taz as well. In Tuf Bey's Sifkot and Tes, he quotes a tshuva of Rabbeinu Binyamin, who said as well that the Shana Rishona depends whenever the Yom HaKvura was, not the Yom HaMisa. That's when the Yartzeit is, and that's when you should fast. Im lo kein, lifamim lo yashlim avela shi yud beis chodesh. Because otherwise, you're not going to have a full yud beis chodesh of avelus. It explains, you die on a Friday, your burial's on a Monday, it's already a few days later, so therefore, that's the way it should be. And if you see the bowl, the Taz says, no. V'lo amin sheyatzu dvorim elu mipi oso tzadik. I can't believe such a tzadik would emit those words. Devadai lo mona shum odom yud beis chodesh rak miyomi. So people count avelus from the day of death. Let's say a person doesn't hear that he lost a relative for 6 months. All right, how long does he have to hold avelus? That's if his parent died, he has to hold avelus until the end of the year. It doesn't extend, not a year from when you found out. It's that year of avelus. Vade lo yimne rak chatzi shana b'avelus. De cholosa shana hadin matuach. That entire year, the din, the attribute of judgment, weighs against the avel. It starts from the day of death, not from when his avelus started. Here, just the case that he used, the yartzeit is the day of death. What's the difference if you don't have a full 12 months? So what? Sometimes you don't have it. If in fact we say that the Yud Beis Chodesh is a din, in the attribute of justice, of judgment, the person feels matuach, so in fact when the year ends, when the 12 months end, you can't extend it arbitrarily. The sword hangs over you for 12 months. Once the 12 months are over, so there's no sword. You can't say, well, it happened another 2 days, another 3 days. It doesn't work like that. So therefore, he says, no, everyone holds it's the day of Misa, not the day of Kvura, unless you see, I was said, like the Shach said, if it's a longer period of time, 3 or 4 days. If it's the next day, 2 days, it's not going to matter. No one is choshesh if it's a greater distinction. Okay, well, as the gentleman indicated before, the Gemara speaks of Hareini lo shelo ocha basar shelo eshte yayin kiyom shemesko aviv. So if you look at the Gra in number 13, kein mashma lechora. So that's what it sounds like. It's kiyom shemes. The Gra says this is not necessarily the source, because you can interpret that as a reference to the day of Aninus, in which there's no obligation of fasting. You just can't eat meat or drink wine. It doesn't say that I'll fast on that day, just that I not eat meat or drink wine on that day. That's the Gra. And you see, in fact, in 14, which is in the Hilchas Aveilus here, the Shinayin Chesiv Dalid, the same halachas really applied a little softer, because here the Ramah said mitzvah, here it says hayu noagim lisanos b'yomisos hachachamim, is a minog to fast on the day that the chachamim died. We, in fact, especially in the Hasidic world, they've almost turned this completely around, that they don't fast on those days. They write, they eat, they drink, they don't say tachanun. It becomes almost a hilulah. It's a celebration of sorts. Okay. Well, why are we doing this? Why is there such a chiyuv, a mitzvah, a minhag? So I cited the Piskei Tshuvos in number 10. It's in Tov Kuf Samech Chesen Arachayim. It's the left side of the page. And he quotes Shnei Tamim Nemer L'Tainizeh. There are two reasons why such a fast is mandated. One, mishum sheba oso yom itra mazlam shalabonim, because the children had bad mazel that day. So it's a day that makes you focus, but more important things in life. It's a day of tshuva in essence. Secondly, bechol shana b'yam amisa donen es ha-meis. The yartzeit is the day of judgment for the meis as well. That's why people say yishom shavan aliyah, meaning if the mace is judged again, he goes to an even higher level in Gan Eden. Uvitainis habonim yesh mishum kapara la'avu la'aim. In the fasting of the children, that itself is a kapara. So you have two valid reasons, and he quotes the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I cited in greater depth in number 18, but the Kitzur said Kedelis orer l'tshuva l'fashvesh b'masim b'oso ayom. The fasting is mandated to arouse repentance. People, the survivors, should search their deeds on that day. Ulescharet aleihem, have regret. It's like a mini Yom Kippurim. Through the tshuva, that's the schus for the mace. What's the schus? The schus is that if their children become more serious, more frum, more pious, a more committed observer of mitzvos, it's a good reflection on the parents. Because it means the parents train them well, and that becomes the schus. Umisha rogel lisanos beyom ptiras ove ve'imo ein tzarech lekabel b'mincha shelofanov ki mekubo v'omei mikoach haminog. You need not accept the tainus mincha before, because it's so accepted. It's not like a regular tainus yachid. Person has a bad dream and wants to fast, so you have to accept it the day before. It's not like that, because here it's part of the routine of the day. You need no special Kabbalah. Omnam roishi kabbalah b'mincha shelofanov. It's better to do it anyway. And then the mincha of that day, you say aneinu kedin kol tainus yachid. Okay. And the Levush said a similar thing. I cite number 15. It's tough beis sif yud beis in yoredeya. Nogin lisanos yom shemes va'avo aim v'taima shamati sheyaset tshuva m'nei hasakana dereya mazle b'yom zeh. It's because of tshuva. So now we understand. Tzom is always a component of repentance. Tzom Kippur, of course, being the classic one. Well, now that we have all this, so what is going on in our world? In fact, it seems that so few people did it. What has happened? Look at number 16, the tshuva of the Chelkas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Breish, in his Shut in Yoredeya Siman Reish, Lamed Dalid. Interesting question. A person was davening the Beis Medrash, daven Ma'ariv after Tzeis, usually, all right? But here is summertime, and Erev Shabbos, he davened in a different place. What they call in Israel Shabbat Amerikai, American Shabbos. In Israel, it's not widely done. You know, you start Shabbos at 6:30, 7 o'clock. They start Shabbos 8 o'clock, 8:30, and they'll go through the night. But here, Shabbat Amerikai, like we have in the summertime, you have an early minyan, I'm sure, correct? Yeah. The question is, he has Yeretzet on Shabbos. He davens Ma'ariv, it's still daytime. Okay? No? Can he daven if it's still daytime? It's not the day. And say Kaddish as well. Because we say, name of the HaKaddish Moel Kibiyom HaYardside. Kaddish is Le'ilui HaNeshama on the day of the Yardside. As a technical matter, it's not yet Tzeis, it's not nightfall. The day of the Yardside hasn't come. So what's the schus? V'herech kvot haratar amarab evkiyus nifl mikom akom shemuvar im zman ze shemaktim betvilosom kvar nechshav l'layla shel acharov. If the fact that you daven early Friday night, so we know, we say Shema later again, but is it already considered the next day for this purpose? It's Shabbos. And the question of try to argue that in fact it is already construed kvar nechshav l'layla shel acharov u'maskan asosha mutu l'haktim tfilosov v'leim razakadish yotza ben chiyuva l'yartza shilosh b'shabash l'acharov. And the question is of the Chelkas Yaakov, what is his opinion? What's his chavis das? So he answered, of course it's a longer answer, but just in pertinent part, v'nei inyan yartzeit brought down a Sfar HaKadoshim. If Yishom Leta Lassus Tikkun HaNasham HaBiyom HaYardside, does Dina delay if it's to make a Tikkun, a rectification for the Neshama on the day of Yardside? It's a day of Din, of the soul. And he quotes another Sefer in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, DeBiyom HaYardside Donin Es HaNasham HaBa'olam HaElyon L'chein Brom Ezaka Abba. Since the soul is being judged, a child can bring that Schus, that merit, to a parent. Umisan, and he fasts. Vosed tzedakah, la'os neshmaso, give tzedakah as well. All right? So what do we have then on a tzedakah? Tshuva, tefila, I'm sorry, Yardside. Tshuva, tefila, tzedakah. Should ring a bell. Ma'avrit is rag zera. That's all the basic components of tshuva. Ulatam ze inyan Yardside, nogel, mitzvah, kibbut, av, aim. demechuyev afl achar mesa. He has a third dimension. In addition to rea mazlei, in addition to kapara, it's a dinah kibud av v'eim, that the day Rachman Alzan, a parent, left this world, can't be a day like a regular day. You have to show some special respect and honor for the parents. Now, skip a line. V'yesh o tami shum debiyom shemes aviv rea mazeh dabein umishum zetzarch lisanos. That's he concluded. By the way, he concluded in the end that in fact the guy can daven early, and because we accept Shabbos already, so that becomes the next day. But here he adds an interesting point, which takes us into the transformation that's happened in our day. It seems that this matter of fasting has become somewhat lax among most people. And they've transformed the yard site into a day of tainis, into a day you learn Mishnah, you say Kaddish, and you daven for the Amud, as the Ramah says elsewhere. Kaddish is really given over to Ketanu, who can't do anything else. But a grown-up can learn Mishnah, can daven for the Amud, and can give tzedakah. So tzedakah really is the highest. All right. I once said to someone, came up a few years ago, it was a guy in Avelis, and they needed him for Tamche Shabbos. And if he went to Tamche Shabbos, he wouldn't be able to daven Ma'ariv Minyan that night. So he asked me, what takes precedence, Saint Kaddish or Tamche Shabbos? And I said, absolutely, Tamche Shabbos, because Kaddish is for Ketanim. But Duchesed yourself, it's a higher level of schus for the parent. Kaddish is really a tikkun on the cheap, so to speak. It's just words. But if you do Chesed be a dayim, it's even better than that. And anyway, the Chelkas Yaakov introduces this concept that, in fact, something happened in the generations that made it less common, less prevalent, that people should fast. We don't know yet what it was, but something did happen. Now, the Minchas Yitzchak in the next Tshuva, Chelek Vav Siman Kuf Lamed Hey, expands on this a little more with an interesting question. He notes the famous Minchas Siddim, I think has entered our world as well. They give a tikkun, they give out, liquor and herring, God forbid, and, snacks, right? Donuts. A guy came, I think it was the Rav of the Shul, in fact, and he said he wants to be mevatel the tikkun on the yard side, wants to get rid of it, all right? Me'achash Hashem America. It's hard to in America. They don't know where the liquor is coming from. It goes back many years, all right? They don't know the kashrus, especially the chshash of chomet she'avar olav ha-pesach. You have Jewish-owned companies, they don't sell their chomets. Now, well, most of them do, but then they didn't. So liquor, almost all of it, is going to be chomets. It's made from chomets. So they're serving chomet she'avar olav ha-pesach L'ilui neshama. It's exactly opposite. It causes a michshol, not a tikkun. Al keni tzia shebemokom atikkun yatilu al balei hayardzeit litein sikum misuyam l'talmud Torah ulivnei yeshiva Hashem yivarchem yishmerem. Okay, so here this Rav comes along and says, instead of spending the money on 20-year-old scotch and the like, give that money to tzedakah for Talmud Torah. Forget about the alcohol, forget about the food, give the money so people can learn Torah. Alright? Well, how do you think that went over? Yeah, not well with the people. And that's how the question came before the Minchas Yitzchak. Amnam Rabbi Mibna Kila Kamu Ve'eri Al Zebetaino. They all came with an argument. Ein levata minag vatik kazeh shenagu kein avoseinu v'rabosein shmosom eda midor dor. But note what's happened here. It's the inverse of everything. Instead of fasting, now there's, which was the minag, the mitzvah Zeramah said, now they're saying, this guy who's not serving us liquor anymore, who's banning liquor and any type of food in the shul on a yard site, He's violating an ancient minhag, minhag vatik, that our forefathers, our rabbanim, held me dor v'dor, exactly the opposite of the reality. But nonetheless, you can't have a barrier between the Jew and his schnapps if he wants it. So that's the question here. Hine mama ot kashel falpin shein lo makor b'shasu posim. Minchas Yitzchak said it's hard to know where to maneuver here, because not a lot written about it in the older sources. This notion does find its place. Okay? What's its place? And he writes, and generally the Rashba, you should not mock any minog in Jewish life, even that the Zgenos brought. And certainly not this, certainly this, that they sought tzaddikim ador, and this became the new approach to a yard site, because ador chalash, umismait, veholech, vein bekocham klalis, anos lesagev his gufam. The generation has, our generation become much weaker, say last century or so. We become weaker. We don't anymore have the power, the strength to fast, to afflict ourselves. Al kein himlichu eitzel lazeh belo atainis. So they gave a different counsel, not to fast. Via davar shavu lechol nefesh, be something that everyone, to which everyone can relate. L'kayim b'yom ha'yartzayt mitzit zdoko v'achnosas orchim b'chaburas on Hashem yachad l'se'udo b'achdus v'reyos. Numinag. Rather than fast, like Mechaber and the Ramon, all Rishonim said, a numinag. You make a feast. You give tzedako. You mekayim achnosas orchim. You bring in guests. You serve them food. B'achdus u'v'reyos. You bring them in. If they are aniyim, yoter tov, it's even better. And that's how the minig developed, because aniyim do not have the wherewithal to make a seuda, so they make a little tikkun, and for this they become the mitzvah of tzedakah as well. And he quotes this to Chemed, Chaim Chizkiah Medini from Chevron, Sfaradi. He was critical of the Ashkenazim in Chevron, Yerach Kodesh. They're eating, donuts, and they're drinking liquor on the yard site in the base medrash, set aside for tefillah. How could that be? So in the end, he says, "Be'emtsa dvarov," that there is something positive in it. Sheyesh bazet tikkun l'nishmas hameis. Shabrachos va'anias ameinim mailim nishmas hameis. He said the tikkun is people say a bracha and that itself is good, and others answer amen to the bracha, and that's even better because they're all kiddushei Hashem. In fact, when I announced someone was making a tikkun in shul, the phraseology I always use is that someone should you're invited to make a bracha on some food, not just to eat or drink, but to make a bracha on it, because it's the bracha that is the key. Od Esau, Shehila Toel Habal Yartzai to Itra Mazav Osayom Kinoda. And again, inversion. Here we said you have to fast because Rea Mazle, now instead you're eating and drinking. People say L'chaim, which is a reverse of the bad mazel, should be a good mazel. Avol gam mishna rishona lo zazim im koma. You can't still escape the original minog. And the Tamin Hagim writes of the Rebbe of Strelisk, the Saraf, shekosav tamo minog bein chasidim yirei Hashem lishtos mat yayin shecha b'chol tzor shelo tovo v'lo melchaim zel ozeh ki l'chaim b'gematria minog. Interesting, both 98. L'chaim in gematria is minog. Oh no, parenthetically, you just switch the letters of minog, it's ganim, all right? So, you could play with the language also, but nonetheless, the Sarah from Strelisk said, no, dafka, you have to drink, and I love the phrase, by the way, when do you drink? B'chol tzara shelo tavo. Okay, I understand it's lashon saginor, it's a euphemism, but if you're going to drink b'chol tzara shelo tavo, that's a lot of drinking. Because I can, if it's going to be, you're going to drink because of a tzara that came, it's limited. But b'chol tzara shelo tavo, that encompasses a lot of liquor. But that's the minhag. Ki lechaim b'gematria minhag u'minhag mishaber u'mevatel hadin. This minhag came and destroyed the din. And he quotes as well the Ateres Tzvi, Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov, the founder of that dynasty. Yesh medrash ki Yisrael shosim om lechaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mochal av nasem shal Yisrael. People, was a medrash that when Jews drink and say lechaim, God forgives the sins of the Jews. I never found such a medrash, but all right, whatever. Medrash Rab, I don't think it is, but okay, what's that? Chassidish, correct. So that's the whole thing. I would like to say that the Hasidim brought into this world the notion of not fasting, but instead eating and drinking, but we'll see in a moment it has other sources as well. But something else bothered me about this. You see, both the Chalkas Yaakov and the Minchas Yitzchak, who are more or less a modern poskim, each time within the last half century, what does this mean that there's chulsha today, there's weakness in our generation, and therefore people can't fast? Nobody wants to be misagefet aguf. Nobody wants to torment, afflict their bodies anymore. I saw the words, I thought to myself, it should be exactly opposite. I mean, in the 19th century in Europe, that's where there was starvation, all right? Couldn't fast. You had very little food. The yeshivas in Europe, people went, sent their kids, you know, they had the tag, they ate at certain homes during the week. If you didn't have a home, you didn't eat that day. All right, I remember reading about Rav Gifter when he went, I think it was to Tells in the late 1930s. He didn't eat every day. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky did not eat every day. If he ate 4 or 5 days a week, say you were blessed, including Shabbos. You missed a day or two? No, you missed a day or two. You couldn't find any food. If you can't find any food, I would think fasting is harder, right? Today, what's going on next door in the kitchen? I'm smelling it since I walked in. It's like delicacies. So why would fasting be a problem for us? I think the chulsha here is not chulsha saguf. It's the opposite. It's chulsha sanefesh. It's a spiritual weakness. It's not a physical weakness. To wit, fasting no longer has the same spiritual benefit that it once had. Because we're able to tolerate it so well. What's the proof? Look, next Tuesday is a fast. It's Asar B'Teves, all right? People will fast. How many people fasting will focus on the fast and nothing else? Not the Churban, not the Siege Yerushalayim, etc. But more than that, how many people, aside from the fast and Aneinu and the change in the davening, will actually change the way they're going about their day? Is anyone not working because of Tainus? No. Is anyone doing anything different aside from not eating or drinking because of Tainus? Usually not. Because the fast no longer has the same effect, the same spiritual effect on Jews, that was the change. Now, in fact, if fasting does not produce the same spiritual benefit it once had, then you have to look for a way to do something else, and a way, in fact, to counter the effects of the fast.
Well, I can't look, say, like, yeah. Brisker's hold that everybody has a dinner.
Right.
So therefore they don't.
I'll tell you why. Because it's also not true. I know they said it to Reb Chaim 100 years ago. But Lemais, it's not true. We're the healthiest generation ever, despite the health problems that we have. We have the greatest life expectancy of any dor. We have the ability to be completely healthy. It's not like we're living in Brisk 100 years ago. So then it was a danger. You can't posit definitively every person, the Chol Shem B'Sakana, because Lemais is not true. We know it's not true, all right? Even Obamacare could not cover the whole country if everyone was a Chol Shem B'Sakana, all right? Can't be. So if that's the case, then there has to be some other mechanism that we adopt. If fasting is not going to work, what will work? Talmud Torah. So look first in the Pisrei Tshuvos, on the top left, number 20. Again, in Tafkuf Samaches, Labriut. V'nei rabim noagim sheinam misanim tainis yardzeit, Egev chulshas hadoros, because of the weakness of the generations. Not the line, it doesn't say weakness of the guf, weakness of the generations. People don't fast anymore. Upamim shatzom gorm l'bitl Torah. There's sometimes people stop learning because you get tired of the fast. You can't learn before. Ve'odav lilmod ba'oso yom le'ilu nishmasam. It's better to learn Torah than even to fast. Fast, you don't eat or drink. Learning Torah, that's already affirmative. That's an action. Ve'yirdefu, if you're not fasting, chase after shar mitzvos k'tzdoko gmilas chasodim achnasas orchem etc. V'nogim l'sayim esechas osedim eshnayas k'dei sheyesudas mitzvah shapoter hatainis. And the minig is to learn more. You finish a mesechta, learn eshnayas, make a sudas mitzvah, which will be poter the tainis. And he mentions also the minig to give mashku mazonos after the tefillah. Now the Nite Gavriel Tilchas Avelos Chelak Beis Perik Ayin Beis, he goes through a list of gedolim that did not fast. Of course, many did fast, obviously. But he says the Maram Shik, sixth line, he didn't fast on the yard side. Shalulavatel mi Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah can I get kulam? Learning Torah is even more important. And he quotes Savav Rabbi Akiva Eger, who told his children not to fast on his yard site when he died. Rak yilmadu kol hame'es la'es o yisrachem shilmadu. Just learn 25 hours. Hire people to learn. V'chein ishto shelach sam sofer. She left the will telling the children not to fast, but learn. It's even better. Learning is more important. All right. And he goes on to mention a number of others in accordance with this. And the general, he quotes Chassidus Chabad, Shebedoros Eilu Achronim Tzrichim L'Mayit B'Tainios V'Sigufim, that now we try to limit any type of physical affliction. It's harder to handle. Kayadua Piskam Abesh, the Baal Shem Tov, She'ein L'Tzaris HaGuf B'Tainios V'Sigufim, Ela Adaraba Azov Tazovimo, Lavras Hashem, Lavras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im HaGuf. Was Baal Shem Tov, these days, rather than serve God through afflictions, serve God with the body. With the body, meaning do something, do an act of chesed, give tzedakah, learn Torah, etc. And he quotes the Stipler as well, that the minhag was not to fast, chazon ish also. Now, nonetheless, obviously the many gedolim who did fast, especially the Lithuanians, but I think that explains why the mitzvah, the fast, essentially became diminished over the last number of generations, going back to the 19th century. It's not because we're weaker physically. It's because we became weaker spiritually. And so the effect of the fast was not, on the person's soul, was not the same as it once was. The day of Yahrzeit should be a day of tshuva and a day of contemplation as well. That's usually accompanied by tzom. And lemaisa, you could argue even, that people who don't fast are also not necessarily increasing their Talmud Torah, like the Chazon Ish, Rabbi Akiva Eger, Chaim Sofer, and all the others, the Maram Shik. Bless you. They're not increasing their Talmud Torah. So what does the Yahrzeit then become? A day to claim the Amud, to claim the Maftar the week before, a day to put out schnapps and have a drink and snacks, and that really also can't be. If the Iker has shifted from Tzom to Talmud Torah, then the Iker has to be Talmud Torah, and has to be Tzedakah, and Gemilas Chasadim, and everything else that goes along with it is just to evoke brachos. It can't just be a regular day where people say Kaddish and then move on. It's really hard to understand how such a minig, so well sourced in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, just fell by the wayside. So I tried to fulfill this year as the first year I ever observed Rahman al-Islam, just 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, that so I fasted also, all right? But I put out, I bought a bottle of drinks, I bought a bottle of liquor. I went to the liquor store in Teaneck the Friday before, and I said to the owner, what's the least expensive bottle of liquor that will not make me look like a cheapskate? And so he suggested one, but I found another for even less money. And we had the donuts as well, but I didn't eat. I just answered amen to their brachos. And then I hope I spent the day in some productive pursuit, learning Torah and doing other acts of chesed. I hope should be Le'ilui Nishmas, my father. But here you see, even from a sociological perspective, you don't always find dramatic changes in Jewish practice. Here you really have a dramatic change. I mean, a Vishul, you know, people sitting there, probably over 100, maybe 120 people, only four or five had really fasted on the yard site. One of them said to me, it's because he asked the Rosh Hashiva, and he said, yeah, of course, and that's an open halacha. But if people can't do that, or I would say if people find that the fasting detracts from the spirituality of the day, then that's the Chulshas Hadoros, and they should find another mechanism by which to bring the same nachas to the neshama, the same reversal to the roa hamazel that exists, and above all, to see the day as a day of tshuva. I thank you all very much, and again, thank my very dear colleague, Rabbi Schwartz, for inviting me. To everyone, Shabbat Shalom. Erev Tov.
I want to thank Rabbi Bruce.